All right, you guys, I am currently struggling with a pinched nerve in my neck, and if you have ever had one, you know the pain. So I am feeling super thankful for today's sponsor, Tenassi. Tenassi's CBD CBDA is 2 times better than CBD alone and better than over-the-counter ibuprofen, acetaminophen, and aspirin. It helps soothe and relieve my aches and pains, like my pinched nerve, and it's great for sleep and anxiety, so I put it on right before bed. Tenassi was discovered by a team of chemists and biologists at Middle Tennessee State University, and 5% of all revenue is given back to the university partner for ongoing research. It is THC-free and comes in a range of products. I love the topicals, but you can also choose from soft gels, gummies, and tinctures. Satisfaction is guaranteed. Try Tenassi for 30 days, and if you don't love it, you get a full refund. Go to Tenassi.com and use code MOM to get 25% off at checkout. That's TANASI.com to get 25% off your first order with promo code MOM. Hi, welcome to the Sober Mom Life podcast. I'm your host, Suzanne, of My Kind of Sweet and the Sober Mom Life on Instagram. If you are a mama who has questioned your relationship with alcohol at times, if you're wondering if maybe it's making motherhood harder, this is for you. I will be having candid, honest, funny conversations with other moms who have also thought, maybe motherhood is better without alcohol. Is it possible? We'll chat and we'll talk about all things sobriety and how we've found freedom in sobriety. I don't consider myself an alcoholic. You don't have to either. And maybe life is brighter without alcohol. I hope you will join us on this journey, and I'm so excited to get started. Hello and happy new year. Happy 2023. You guys, we made it. I absolutely love a new year. I love just a fresh page on a calendar. I love a new planner. I love a fresh start. I love being able to start over. That's what this is. A new year, a fresh start. I'm so excited. And if you are listening to the podcast for the first time because you're trying dry January, first, I want to say welcome. I don't know, maybe go back and listen to a few episodes to see what we're about over here. The quick rundown is that I believe, and my sobriety journey has been one in which I don't label myself an alcoholic. I don't consider myself powerless to alcohol because I don't drink it. I don't think I'm forever going to be in this battle with alcohol. I simply don't drink alcohol because it's a horribly addictive toxin. And we have been tricked for a really long time to believe that it makes us funnier and it makes us just more fun to be around and it makes our anxiety better and it makes motherhood easier. And what you will learn here and what we uncover is that that is a huge trick. And if you feel like you don't want to be tricked anymore, that you have given alcohol 20 years or 15 years or 10 or 30, and you keep ending up in the same place, that you keep getting tricked by it. And if you're just sick of that and you want to see if life is better without alcohol, this is the place for you. And here's a big spoiler alert. It is. Life is so much better without alcohol. Motherhood is so much better without alcohol. And as you'll see, that doesn't mean that it's easy, but it means that you're not letting alcohol make it harder, because that's what it does. It promises us all of these things, and we keep thinking it's going to deliver. We keep thinking, you know, this time I'm going to be able to moderate this highly addictive substance. This time when I promise myself that I'll only have 2 drinks, when I decide that with a sober mind, well, guys, that kind of goes out the window once alcohol is involved. And the addictive substance takes over. That's why moderation is hell on earth. And so if you're here because you're trying dry January, or you just want to see what sobriety is about, I mean, first, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. And I think your world is going to change if you want it to. And if you allow that change in and that change to happen. And it starts today. It starts today, January 2nd. Wow, January 2nd. You guys, I'm excited. I'm excited for all of you who are here, who are new to this journey and just kind of figuring it out. I have shared a lot about my story. And if you go back and listen to the first episode called Freedom in Sobriety, I do share a lot about my story. I stopped drinking January 19th, 2020. And I had way more questions than answers when I stopped drinking. I did not have all of these answers that I have today. I did not have everything figured out. I still don't have everything figured out. And I'm still learning all about what alcohol is and what it does and how to reframe it and how to look at it. But I didn't have those 3 years ago. I had one answer. And that one answer was, did I want to feel like this again? Did I want to feel just the shame and the guilt of not being able to count on myself when I said I was going to only have a few? And I ended up having way more than that. Did I want to continue to feel like this slow chipping away at the center of who I was and not being able to trust myself when I told myself I was going to do something and I kept not doing it? And did I want to feel a horrible hangover, get in the middle of me and my full life that was going on all around me that I wasn't able to participate in because I was so sick because of the fucking alcohol? I decided that day that I was done. And I said it out loud. I didn't keep it to myself. I wanted accountability. I told my husband. I'm not sure he quite believed me, but he went with it. And I had so many questions, you guys. I did not have it all figured out. That's what I think. If we wait to have it all figured out, it's never going to happen. We have to decide, and then we have to go on a fact-finding mission, and we have to uncover, and we have to dig, and we have to peel back the layers of all of the things that we had been hiding and all of the stories that we had stopped looking at and our past drinking. And that can be the hard part of sobriety. Especially early sobriety, when you start looking at, okay, how did alcohol really affect my life? What did it do? And that for me was tough because there was no more hiding. And I didn't hide my drinking. I didn't drink every day. My hands didn't shake. It wasn't that. But once I looked back and I decided to get honest with myself about what alcohol was and what it had taken from me, ooh, that was rough. That was rough, and that takes time. But I want to talk to you today about dry January. And if you're doing that, if you're deciding to do dry January, if it's because, you know, ooh, New Year's Eve was rough, the holidays were rough, you drank a lot, or you just haven't liked your relationship with alcohol, but you also didn't know that you could just stop without declaring yourself an alcoholic. And so dry January is a good way to kind of tiptoe your way into that. And if this is your first break from alcohol, first, I wanted to say I'm so proud of you. This is a big step, and this is a step that you're going to look back on as long as you commit to it. And I think if you follow these tips, you will look back on it as a step that changed your life. And if that sounds scary and you think, oh my God, no, I don't, this is just a break. I don't want to, I'm not never drinking. This isn't going to be forever. Hold on. We need to talk about forever, because what the hell is forever anyway? When do we ever have to answer that we're never going to do something again in the rest of your life? I've never said that about anything. I don't say anything is forever because I don't know what forever means. What does that mean? Don't worry about forever. Forever will take care of itself. You're not going to worry about forever. And if someone asks you that, I don't know what to say, guys. Just tell them to fuck off. Just kidding. That's just the stupidest question. I hate it. And ever, like, you're never drinking again? I'm like, what? What? How is that? That's just them. Anytime we talk about this a lot on here, anytime anyone has a strong reaction to someone not drinking, that is just all about them and their relationship with alcohol. You're holding a mirror in front of them. And so don't get bogged down in the questions and the answering and the forevers and the never agains and all of that bullshit. You don't have to. Those are questions that will answer themselves, and you do not need to know any of that right now. Okay, so we're going to just, I'm going to go through some tips. I like practical tips that you can have this AirPod in your ear while you're doing laundry or while you're cleaning the kitchen. And I do this because that's how I got through my first, I want to say, 3 months of sobriety. I didn't go to meetings. You know, I didn't want to go to AA. AA? That wasn't for me. I talked to a lot of people on here who did go to AA and who do, and it was great for them, but I knew that was not for me. AA kept me drinking because in my mind, it was either you drink or you're an alcoholic. And you go to AA and you declare yourself powerful to alcohol. And in my mind, I'm like, well, I'm not in this daily battle with alcohol while I'm drinking it. And so that felt like I would forever be tied to the substance, and that would make it just such a big thing that, like, who wants to battle something every single day? Isn't that the freedom of sobriety, is you don't have to battle something every single day? And I'm here to tell you that, yes, that is the freedom of sobriety. And so I knew I didn't want to go to AA. So what was there? If I wasn't going to go to AA and I was just going to do this on my own. Also, remember, and I got sober January 19th, 2020. So for the first 3 months, yeah, we were in that pandemic. You remember that? That shit show? And so I was just home with 3 kids, a husband who was still working, and all day long, I had one AirPod in my ear and I was finding out the truth. I was on a fact-finding mission. I was a truth seeker. That sounds like QAnon. That's not what that meant. And I was just listening to any quitlet that I could get my hands on, any sober podcasts. I wanted to hear what alcohol was and what it did to other people. Because what that did, when I started hearing what alcohol did to other people, I could start uncovering those things of what it did to me and the stories that I had hidden way down deep because I was so ashamed and I didn't want anyone to know. Once I started hearing other people's stories, first of all, it became clear that it was the alcohol. All of these stories of horrible things that, but not for the alcohol, if not for the alcohol, they wouldn't have happened. That was a huge light bulb moment for me. I was like, hold on. So removing this substance, none of this shit would have happened. And we think it's fun? It's been marketed as glamorous and as helpful to our life and an additive to literally every situation. When if you get really honest with yourself, and you look at the times that you drank too much alcohol, was it fun? Did it add to the situation? No, you guys, it doesn't. And these are the things that you start to discover once you decide to get honest about alcohol and your relationship with it. And so the first tip, if you're doing Dry January, is to decide. You are going to decide today, January 2nd, 2023, that you are going to give yourself 30 days to see what this sobriety thing is about and to see what happens to your life without alcohol in it. And the thing about allowing alcohol into our lives is there's this thing called moderation. in moderation, I'm here to tell you is the idea, it's hell on earth, is what it is. And it's a losing game because it's you trying to control something that's not controllable and something that is highly, highly addictive. And yes, you might be able to moderate once or twice, maybe three times, maybe four, maybe 10. But that's the thing about moderation and willpower, is that it works sometimes, but as soon as willpower runs out, or as soon as something happens that makes you drink again or more, or take the third drink or the fourth, it's out the window and the substance takes over as designed. And moderation is all about mental gymnastics. When you try to moderate, and I understand that everyone, most everyone goes through this phase of trying to cut back drinking, moderate. There are so many rules, right? Okay, I will only have two drinks tonight. Sometimes you do it. I'm only going to drink beer because red wine gives me a headache. P.S. guys, it's the ethanol. Doesn't matter what kind of alcohol. I am only going to drink on the weekends. No more weeknight drinking. If I've had more than two drinks, I will take an Uber. I'm going to drink tonight, but my husband's not, so he can drive home. I'm not going to drink tonight, but my husband is, so I can drive home. I'm going to drink one drink, and then I'm going to drink water in between. I'm going to stop my drinking at 10 o'clock. I'm going to drink three times a week instead of five. All of these rules. Oh my God, so many rules. And they work for a little bit and then they don't. And then you think, well, I just need a new rule. I just need to come up with a way that I can control this highly, highly addictive substance that is impossible to control. But there's got to be a way, right? Oh, that's those mental gymnastics and that chatter that takes up so much of your brain. The thing about deciding that you're going to do dry January or take a break or just see what sobriety is about, the thing about deciding, and that's what I did on January 19th, 2020, you take that mental chatter and shut it up. It stops. There is no more back and forth, okay, weighing this, what if this, okay, well, I want to be sober, but there's this wedding and that I can't go to a wedding sober. P.S. Weddings are so much fun sober. I can't. Oh, but there's that big game. No, but there's that girls' weekend. No, I can't do that. No, none of that. You're going to decide. The thing about deciding is it frees up that mental space for you to then see what sobriety is about. And there's no more push and pull. You've been in the push and pull with alcohol for years. Don't bring that into sobriety. Don't bring that into dry January. Leave that behind because I'm telling you, it's incredible what your mind can do when it's not thinking about alcohol. Okay, so the second tip I have for dry January, and this is, I had a little pushback when I hear dry January, sober October, dry July, all of these things in that I love that they get people talking about sobriety. And this might be your first time even venturing into life without alcohol and even experiencing it. And I think that is wonderful. I think that's great. I want to tell you that if you spend January counting down to when you quote unquote can drink again, you're still focusing on alcohol. Even in these precious sober days. And you will not get out of dry January what you can and you won't learn about what sobriety can be for you. So you're kind of wasting it. You're white knuckling it. And I want to tell you something about sobriety. For me, sobriety is not white knuckling it. This is the secret. And I don't want it to be a secret. I want everybody to know this. That I don't live my life looking like or thinking about experiences and days and nights with the absence of alcohol. And if I did, I don't think I would be sober. I don't look at my life and say, God, I wish I could drink. That to me, where I sit today, sounds fucking insane. You could replace that with saying, God, I wish I could do cocaine. God, I wish I could smoke cigarettes. God, I wish I could drink nail polish. Because guys, it's ethanol. Just PS. I don't at all live my life with the focus on the absence of alcohol. I live my life with the fullness of sobriety. And so I want you to avoid the countdown trap. And we're not counting down to February 1st when, yes, we get to drink alcohol. That is so not what it's about. And I think that once you learn the truth about alcohol and what it is and what it actually does to our minds and our bodies and our mental health, you just can't look at it the same way again. I know I couldn't. You guys, we spend so much fucking money on, oh my God, caring for ourselves. We eat vegan. We eat vegetarian. We eat cage-free eggs. We eat, drink almond milk because no dairy. God, why would you do dairy? We cut down on our sugar. We work out at the gym. You guys, we wear natural fucking deodorant that doesn't work. We are willing to forego deodorant because, God forbid, aluminum. But we're going to drink alcohol? Drinking alcohol far supersedes any of those natural, homeopathic, good-for-you things that you're doing. Stopping drinking alcohol by far has been the best thing I've ever done for my skin, for my body, for my hormones, and for my mental health, and for my family, and for my life. There's not been one single thing that has affected every single area of my life like alcohol. And I don't think we realize that until we take it away. But you need to take it away and not live through the lens of lacking alcohol and that you can't have alcohol, because then you're not going to notice that stuff. Then these 30 days are just going to go by. You're going to white knuckle it and you're going to be like, God, do I miss alcohol? Without noticing, wait, maybe my skin does look a little bit better. Oh, wow, I'm sleeping better through the night and I have more patience with my kids and my heart isn't racing in the morning. But if you're only still thinking about alcohol and you're bringing alcohol into dry January, you're not going to see that. And so my third tip is to get curious. So let's get curious about life without alcohol. Let's get curious. How do things feel? How is your skin? My fourth tip is to journal. And so this kind of goes with the third tip. You're going to write down all the stuff that you're noticing. And it's not going to be all great stuff. You're going to notice, oh, wow. Yeah, during the witching hour, I get irritable. I get irritable. And for me personally, I get touched out. By 5 o'clock, I'm like sensory overload. No one touch me. I just want to be left alone and cook dinner. And rather than reaching for that glass of wine in order to escape feeling those uncomfortable feelings and to numb it all out, now I know what I actually need and I can say it. And I can say to my kids, I mean, the 3-year-old doesn't care, but I can say to my 8 and 5-year-old, you guys, I'm not going to talk to you for like 20 minutes while I cook dinner and listen to a podcast. I put both AirPods in and I know what I need now, rather than just reaching for a glass of wine, not knowing what I need and numbing it out. And being like a zombie, not knowing, not feeling. Now I know, but that doesn't start until you get curious of like, oh, how am I feeling right now? How am I feeling? A lot of us, it takes us a while to even figure out how we're feeling because we're not used to it. We're not used to feeling. And you guys, you can't selectively numb feelings. Brené Brown said that. And so you can't selectively numb the bad stuff, but then feel the good stuff when you drink alcohol. Alcohol numbs it all. And so sure, you might feel the irritability of the witching hour, but you're also going to feel those small moments of joy that 100% passed you by when you were drinking because you didn't notice them. And so I want you to journal these things. And I know when people say journal, it's like, ugh, journal. What does that even mean? A lot of us don't know how. I'm just going to tell you there are no rules. It doesn't have to make sense. You're not right. It doesn't have to be complete sentences. Do bullet points. Do bullet points in the morning. How am I feeling? What do I want today to be? How am I feeling without alcohol in my system? And then maybe jot some quick thoughts down at night too. So Michelle from Recovery is the New Black has a journal, and you'll hear her on the podcast pretty soon. And it's called Living Sober, Living Free. It's at Target. You guys, it's at Target, which is amazing. Can we please infiltrate Target with sobriety instead of the fucking mom waters and the Roselle Day shirts? So it's a guided journal for women who want to stop drinking. You could also get it on Amazon. I'll link everything in the show notes. So the show notes will be this huge resource for you with all of my favorite Quitlet podcasts, and then I'll link this journal too. And it's a really quick rundown of how are you feeling? What are you excited about? What are you grateful for in the morning? And then a quick check-in at night with a whole lot of inspirational quotes and tips and tricks in there too. Because you guys, if you're doing Dry January, do Dry January. Sobriety is so much more than just life without alcohol. It truly is a coming home to yourself and so much about figuring out what you need and how to be able to say it and give that to yourself. Okay, and so part of getting curious about life without alcohol, I always talk about counting the firsts in sobriety rather than counting the days. I understand you might be tempted to count down the days, and we're not going to do that. We're going to avoid that countdown trap. So instead of counting the days, what if you count the firsts during this time and get curious about, you know, if you have a wedding, if you have a girls' trip planned, if there's a game that you go to that there's always drinking, if there's a quick getaway with your husband, if there's a date night, if there's a girls' night, and you've never done those without alcohol, how do you know? How do you know they're not just as fun, if not more, and I'm going to say more, fun without alcohol? You don't. You've always assumed that alcohol was the thing that made those fun. And I'm here to tell you, at almost 3 years sober, that as long as you like the people you're with, alcohol doesn't add anything. Things are still fun. Events are still fun. People are still fun. You are still fun without alcohol. Because then you can have fun. You can have, like, you know, the kind of fun that kids have, where it is this like childlike joy. That's what it feels like. It's fun without shame. And I'm telling you, fun with shame, that's not fun. You just start to realize that alcohol is a detractor, and all this time you thought it was making things fun. I am here to tell you that life without alcohol, somehow sober, has gotten branded as boring, which just makes me laugh. Like, that, you guys, it could not be further from the truth. Alcohol makes things boring. I'm going to say it again because you're not going to believe me. You probably don't believe me right now. But alcohol makes things boring. It doesn't matter. I had the same experience with alcohol, whether I was, oh my God, in Maine on a yacht, or if I was in Green Bay at a bar. It was the same experience. How is that possible? How is that possible? But it was. It was alcohol. Alcohol numbed it all. It blurred it all. I wasn't experiencing that. Alcohol steals all of that from us. All of the experiences become flat and we're numb to it, and they all just blend together. I don't know about you, but I don't want my life to blend together. And so how many firsts can you cross off in this month of January? If you're truly getting curious about what sobriety can be and how it can feel, I want you to write down a list of firsts that you see ahead of you for the month. What do you have coming up that you're scared? I'm not telling you that you're going to be excited. You might be, and that's great. But you might also be scared because this is a first. And firsts can be scary. Doing anything for the first time is scary. But rather than just relying on muscle memory and what we've always done, why don't we get curious and see what that first can be? And I'm going to tell you something. It's so easy to romanticize alcohol when we're not drinking it and when we're not up close to it. It's easy to watch Sex in the City or see alcohol like them drinking red wine on TV and movies and or on Instagram and the fucking mommy bloggers and the fucking mommy wine culture who tell us that we need wine for motherhood, which is a bullshit lie and it's dangerous. And I will fight that till the end. It's so easy to romanticize alcohol when we're not drinking it and when we're not up close to it. But when you're at a wedding and everyone is drinking and you are not, you are going to see what alcohol is and what it does. And you are going to still have fun. You're still going to dance. It's still going to be the same music. No one is going to care what you're drinking. No one. Okay, that's just your mind trying to decide, trying to trick you into thinking, oh, maybe I do need to drink because I'm going to be asked and they're going to care and they're going to judge and they're going to think, no, they're not. For the first 5 minutes, they might say, what? You're not drinking? Wow. Okay, then they might say something because of their drinking. Beyond that, they're going to be in their cups and they're not going to remember that you're not drinking. And you're going to see as the night progresses what a big trick alcohol is. And you're going to see that it doesn't make things better. It doesn't make things more fun. It doesn't make people glamorous. You're going to see it for what it is. And then in the morning, you're going to wake up supremely grateful that you didn't drink it because you have a clear head. Okay, guys. And then you're going to think about how you can reward yourself during this time. My reward is always sweets. And that's another thing about cutting alcohol out is your sweet tooth is probably going to ramp up because alcohol was doing something for that. I don't know science stuff, guys. I'm going to have somebody on here that can tell us exactly why our sweet tooth and our sugar intake tends to go up after we stop drinking alcohol. But I do know that it's okay. Allow yourself that. I know it's January. I know we're trying to do all the things. We're trying to change our life in this month. There is nothing that's going to change your life more than removing alcohol from it. And that's what you're focusing on. The sugar's not going to matter. I've eaten a lot of sugar. I've never blacked out from too much sugar. I've never gotten pulled over and gotten a ticket or a DUI for too much sugar. Oh my God, how awful would that be? I would be driving under the influence of sugar daily. I've never heard anyone lose her family from too much sugar. Allow yourself the sugar if that's what your body wants. Find out ways that you can reward yourself. If that's at the end of every week, you're going to go to your favorite ice cream place, or you're going to get a workout top and then a pair of workout pants or whatever it is. This is you being kind to yourself. That's what this journey is all about. This journey is not about deprivation. This journey is about you deciding to be kind to yourself. Finally, treating your body and your mind and your soul the way it was meant to be treated. And it's coming home to yourself and not allowing alcohol to get in the way of that. That's what this is about. And so if that takes a little bit of sugar, a lot of bit of sugar, that's okay. This is a big picture here. You won't always want that much sugar. And you can worry about the sweet tooth later. I promise. I'll have an episode on it, okay? We'll work on our sweet tooth together. I have sweet teeth. I don't know about you. I have way more than just one. So you guys, I hope this helped just kind of reframe how you're thinking about dry January. If you need to, listen to this episode multiple times this month. And also, there are a few things I want you to remember as you go into the month. I've been thinking about these dry Januaries and sober Octobers. I kind of think of them as running. And I'm a runner and have been for like 20 years or more. And The first mile of every run I do is bullshit. I hate it. I've gotten psyched up to run and I'm so excited to run. I've got my clothes ready. I've planned it out. I'm like, yes, I'm doing it. Okay, I'm going to go for my run. And then I start. And then after like the first 1 or 2 minutes, my body and my brain go, oh, fuck. Okay, we're really running. Oh, we're running now? No, we're still running. Okay, shit, we're running. And the first mile sucks of every run. It sucks. My central nervous system doesn't know what's going on. I'm kind of freaking out inside like, oh, God. Am I really doing, how long am I going to do this? Is this going on? God, can't I just stop? And if I just stopped when my brain and my body wanted to stop, I wouldn't get to that second and that sweet third mile because something happens to my body after the first mile. I start settling in. I stop freaking out. My body kind of gets on board with what we're doing. My heart slows down, my breathing levels out, and then I start feeling like I could run forever. I would not get to that place if I listened to my body and my brain during that first mile. If I kept stopping after that first mile, I would think running was hell on earth. I would be like, why does anybody run? I would have no idea what was waiting for me at that second and third mile because I kept stopping at the hard part and doing the hard part over and over. And that is a little bit of what a dry January and a sober October can be. Your body and brain are going to be trying to figure out what the hell is going on. Alcohol is still going to be in your system. If you had a big New Year's Eve, it takes a while to get alcohol out of your system. And so you might not feel amazing. You might still be feeling the effects of alcohol during your dry January. Anytime someone just does these challenges and then goes right back to drinking, I think, no, you just did the first mile. You're going to keep doing the hard part over and over. And if you think that's what sobriety is, it's not. Keep going, keep going, keep running. That's what's in my head every time. And so while when you start out, you might think that this is just for 30 days, I want you to know that alcohol will always be there. Always. It's not going anywhere, guys. It will always be there if you choose to go back to it. But what if you gave yourself a chance to see what that second and third mile feel like? And what if it just keeps getting better? Because it does. I am proud of you. I'm proud of you for taking this first step. I'm proud of you for getting curious. I'm proud of you for making the decision and then for moving forward and for uncovering all the shit that alcohol is and what it has done and what it has taken from you. I'm so proud of you. Sobriety is a rebellious act in a world where everyone drinks. We are the badasses, guys. It's us. Sobriety is cool. Alcohol's a fucking lie, and you're about to find that out. As long as you give yourself enough time and you give yourself a chance to. And I think this podcast is a great place to start. I will link everything in the show notes. It'll be a treasure trove of sobriety resources there. Please use it. Please come and join us on the Sober Mom Life on Facebook. It's a group of, you guys, we're up to 4,000 women. 4,000 women and moms, no boys allowed. It's a safe place for you to go to find support, to give support, to vent, to be honest. You could share anything on there and someone will comment me too. Yep, I've been there. And that, man, that is the best feeling. Community is so important in sobriety and that is my favorite community on the internet. So come and join us. It's the Sober Mom Life. Also, make sure you have a profile picture. If you don't have a profile picture, I will deny you. I'm also trying to figure out the people who have joint accounts, like the wife and husband have the same account. So far, I have not let those people in. So if you do, send me a message and I'm trying to figure that out because I do want to keep it a safe space with no men. So more to come on that. Come and follow me at The Sober Mom Life on Instagram and on TikTok. Also, we have Patreon, so we have bonus content. We have a lot of bonus content, and there's going to be a lot coming for Dry January. We have mental health moments with my mom, who is a therapist. She's an addiction and substance abuse specialist, therapist, and recently retired. So you guys, she has time. So she's coming to help us. We're going to talk all about the difference between shame and guilt, setting boundaries, if your partner still drinks and what that can look like, the difference between excusing and explaining. There's just going to be a whole lot of bonus content. So come and join us on Patreon. The lowest level is $5 a month and you get all of the bonus content. Guys, that's like a cup of coffee a month. That's great. So many sobriety resources. Thank you so much. Come and meet me back here every week and we will talk. I have so many exciting guests that I can't wait to bring you. We've got a lot in the works, guys. So you will be well supported in your sobriety journey. I'm so proud of you, and meet me back here. Okay, bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Sober Mom Life. If you loved it, please rate and review it wherever you listen. 5 stars is amazing. Also follow me on Instagram at The Sober Mom Life. Okay, I'll see you next week. I'm gonna go reheat my coffee. Bye.
Why are we doing an ad again?
So that we can tell people about brand new information, a pop culture and political podcast.
Say it in a way that doesn't sound like game show host.
Okay. Do you want to be in a room of overeducated douchebags and feel comfortable? Brand new information is for you.
What's it going to take to put you in this podcast today? We have brand new information on sale for free.
Free.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. We might not break the political and pop culture news of the week,
but we put it right back together for you.
That's right. Listen wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
It's easy to blame ourselves for our struggles with alcohol. We see people around us being able to control their drinking without any consequences, yet no matter what we try, we can't seem to figure it out for ourselves. My name is Jillian Teets, and I am the host of the Sober Powered Podcast, where I use my biochemistry background to explain the latest research in addiction and help you understand both why you drink the way you do and how to develop the skills and mindset you need to find freedom from alcohol. I discuss topics like why we think about our drinking 24/7, why we have no off switch, and why we crave alcohol. If you're struggling with your drinking or you know someone who is, then I hope that you will check out the Sober Powered Podcast. New episodes every Friday. See you there.